Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you. All right, let's get into the word this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. This is the classic Christmas sermon, Christmas passage. And when you have it, give me an amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, 18 through 21. We good? We ready for the word? Amen. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place like this. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I want to pause there real quick, and then we'll get to the next verse, which will be our main verse. But you can go ahead and take your seat. Where was it? Was I wrong? So maybe that was Luke. Sorry. Did you understand the message? Okay. Are we going to get caught up on the reference? Amen. I don't know. I think that was Luke then. But I want to pause here. And just say that I think this is probably going to feel more like a Mother's Day message than a Christmas message. As I was studying the word this week, I was thinking about Mary, and my heart kind of broke for Mary as I considered her life. I get why Mary's so admired and honored in the Catholic community. Evangelical churches like ours, we tend to talk about her, you know, during Christmas time or Mother's Day. Which is fine. Every message is about Jesus and should always point to Jesus. It's not about Mary or Moses or David or Abraham. But I think Mary does deserve a little bit more credit than we give her sometimes. And I think about what exactly went through Mary's mind. Like what was she thinking? Not just during these 9 months where she was carrying Jesus, but like from conception all the way to crucifixion. I bet you Mary lived a very anxious life. For 34 years, always worried about her son, not fully able to understand what he was doing or where he was going or why he was doing what he was doing. She probably felt alone as a mother because who can you talk to? Who can you confide in and get counsel from somebody else raising a son of God? There's no precedence for this. She couldn't ask one of her friends, how do you communicate with your son of God? She couldn't do that. And so Mary had probably a lonely life, an anxious life at times. I'm willing to bet that while she embraced this calling over her life with joy, she also had moments of worry and loneliness and questions like any mother does. Yet she was favored by God, and she was blessed with this burden of protecting God's gift to the world and holding on to this promise that she didn't fully understand at times. And so her journey begins in what we know is the Christmas story. And Luke, she's told that she's blessed and highly favored, and she's going to bear a son, and his name will be Jesus, and he will be the son of the Most High God, and he will reign over the throne of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And so you have this young woman with this massive responsibility who in our day would probably not even be considered a young woman. She would be considered a child. In these days, scholars suggest that Mary was anywhere from 12 to 16 years old when she had Jesus. That was just how they did it back in these days. 12 was the age when a young girl would be considered a young woman, and she would be given over to Mary. And so she's likely 13, maybe 16 years old. I'm not even sure that there's 13-year-old girls in this room who brush their teeth this morning. And yet, so it blows my mind to think of Mary as holding on this massive responsibility to protect the savior of the world, man. Like my daughter say, that is actually crazy. And her first test is this immense amount of social pressure that we don't even hear about. How many of you know that when you read the Bible, there's likely a story within the story, right? There's a story that the authors didn't have time to go into. They didn't have the details to share. But you just know that a 16-year-old girl, let's say she's 16 years old, and she's claiming that she's pregnant, but it's okay because God did it, makes you look and sound crazy. So you don't know. Mary's got to know that some people are probably going to judge her. People are going to be talking about her. Joseph is probably even talking about her behind closed doors to his parents. Like, this chick, she said she's crazy by God, and I don't know, mom or dad, if I should keep going. She's got to know that people are going to think that she is out of her mind, and they're not going to believe her, and that she's just playing the God card. How many of us kind of throw out claims so quickly that something might be from the Holy Spirit? We don't even test it all the time. If you don't agree with it, you're like, yeah, I don't receive it. If you don't like the sound of it, you're like, yeah, God didn't say it. If it sounds too crazy, you're like, nah, that's too crazy. And the reason that I wanted to pause where I did in the Bible is because it says that Joseph considered these things. Somebody say that word, considered. Joseph considered these things. The Greek definition means he processed. He thought carefully about all of these things. That means that when Joseph had a conversation with Mary, and Mary was like, babe, I'm pregnant, but it's not what you think. Even though his first gut reaction was to say, yeah, this isn't going to work. Even though he was probably hurt and heartbroken and confused and angry and embarrassed, he took all of his emotions to God. Come on, somebody. Don't make me start preaching before the sermon. He prayed about it. He considered these things. He said, Lord, I know this is crazy. It sounds crazy. She's possibly using your name in vain, but I want to do right by you. So I need some discernment. Am I crazy or is this really you? I'm angry right now. I'm confused right now, but I want to know if I've got a right to be angry. I want to know if I've got a right to be confused. Tell me, my God. And the Bible says that as he was considering these things, that's when the angel gave him confirmation. Joseph, don't fear. For that which is in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. And I just felt like God wanted me to tell you this morning, like, how many divine opportunities do we miss because we fail to simply consider what is from and what is not from the Holy Spirit? How many divine calls have you possibly missed or suppressed this year because you simply didn't like what you heard? Can I just challenge you before I even get into the sermon? This is not even the sermon yet. I want to challenge you for 2026. Like, God put this heavy on my heart as I was reading this. And he's telling us to consider divine things. Consider it. Think that you would put your emotions to the side, your intellect to the side, all the facts that you think that you have, everything that you think you know, behind what might possibly be the Lord calling you to do something crazy in 2026. Before you want to act and speak and rebuke and reject, go to the Lord and consider it. Not every word is going to be from the Holy Spirit. Some people are going to be crazy. But we owe it to the Holy Spirit to consider it. So consider it. If you commit to that, I believe that you will see God's will over your life like never before. So that's the sermon before the sermon. So Joseph considers all these things, and now he gets dragged into all of this craziness. And now everything that they're going to think about Mary, they're going to think about Joseph. Everything that they're going to say about Mary, they're going to say about Joseph. I don't know if it's because I'm a guy, but I think that Joseph had a little bit worse than Mary did. Because men have, you know, pride. Men pride. And so if Joseph is continuing forward with his marriage, you know his friends are like, Joseph, bro. Really, Joseph? It's because she said that it's from the Lord. Really, Joseph? I know she's pretty, bro. I know she's pretty, but come on, get serious. And all of this is happening, by the way, in the first trimester. Like, they haven't even announced it to Facebook yet. Like, things haven't even gotten started yet. But this is the main verse that I want to focus on. This is the promise that was given to Mary, told to Joseph. Verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. I want to focus on those three words today. He will save. That's the title of my sermon. He will save. Tell the person next to you, Jesus saves. And more than I want to preach today, I want to reflect. I want to reflect on who Jesus is, because sometimes, man, in the busyness of life and in the busyness of our ministries and callings and all the hardship that we have to go through and being faithful and being standing firm on our faith, sometimes we forget the simple truth that allows us to even be standing here in this room today worshiping God. We're here today because he saved us. He saved us from death, from the grip of sin. He saved us from eternal damnation. And there's still so much more to come that he will save us from. Story's not over yet. But the mission of Jesus was given in his very name. It wasn't just a name that was given to him by his parents. This was a name assigned to Jesus by his heavenly Father. The name Jesus comes from the Hebrew name Yehoshua. Is a Hebrew name, which was later shortened to Yeshua. And it means the Lord saves, or the Lord rescues, or the Lord delivers. It's a very powerful meaning. But you know what? Yeshua wasn't a very uncommon name in the days of Mary and Joseph. You know, anybody know a Jesus? Any Jesuses in here? Yeah. Hey, we got some Chewies in here. You know? It's a common Spanish name. Yeshua, as much as we sing about it, was a very common name in the days of Jesus. But the difference in the name that was given to our Lord and Savior is that his name was never meant to just be a name. This was a name that wasn't given to him just because it was popular or because it was cute or because it was supposed to be symbolic of what Jesus, what the Lord did in the past. This was a name assigned to Jesus, not as a name, but as an identity. It was his mission and it was prophetic. He will save. And so that's why when we sing the name of Jesus, we're not just declaring or celebrating something he did in the past. We are declaring something that he will continue to do. He will have the victory. He will heal the brokenhearted. He will bring you peace. He will comfort you. He will love you when you feel like you're unloved. He will wipe every tear from our eyes, says the word. He will save. We serve a God who will, not just who did. He will. And sometimes we need that hopeful of a promise just to be able to get through the journey. Because the journey is going to be tiring and the journey is going to make you doubt sometimes. The journey is going to be hard. And we need to know that as hard as the journey might get, he will save. I need you to believe that this morning. Because I don't know how hard it's been for you. I don't know what you're walking into. I don't know what you're walking in with today, but you've got to know that he's not done. His mission wasn't just fulfilled. It is still yet to come. He will bring salvation. He will bring healing. He will bring defeat over all of his enemies. He will. And I believe that Mary needed that hopeful of a promise just for her to get through her life, protecting the Son of God and the Savior of the world. So the Bible says that after they celebrated the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt because on day one, the enemy was already after this promise. How many of you know that the enemy wants whatever promise God has made to you? He wants it. He wants it. And so he possesses Herod to seek to kill this newborn king. And so Herod decrees that all the male children under the age of 2 be killed, who were born in Bethlehem and the surrounding region. So Mary and Joseph flee to Egypt and they wait there till the dust settles. Now, this is what I really want you to understand this morning. See, for Mary and Joseph, Jesus was their baby boy. When they saw Jesus, there's no doubt that they saw promise, but they first probably saw baby Jesus, this beautiful little baby boy with his little big fluffy cheeks and his little stinky feet. Like that's what they saw. They saw their baby boy, Jesus, and so they were going to protect their baby boy like any good parent would. There is no protection for a child like the protection that a mother or father can offer. Nobody. I feel like my children are safest when they're either with me or my wife. If they're with anybody else, they're in danger, right? But that's how we feel. Nobody is going to look after our kids like we will. A mother will fight a man three times her size to the death. If she's got to fight dirty, she's got to take off her earring and stab him in the eye and kick him where it hurts. And she will do that for her child. A man will die for his family if it means that his family is safe. And so this is what I think is so powerful about all of this. God protected this promise that was given to the entire world with the power of a godly mother and a godly father. Isn't that crazy? Like, I never really thought about it like that. Like, that is what God used to protect the promise that was given to me and to you, that he will save us. He used parents. He could have used an army. He could have used a heavenly host of angels. He could have used the king. He could have used power. He could have used wealth. He could have used resources. But no, he chose to use a mom and dad who loved the Lord to protect this promise that was given to the whole world. And this is also why Mary had to be blessed and highly favored. This is why Joseph had to be a righteous man. Because not only were they protecting their child, they had to protect his anointing. See, a godly parent doesn't just protect their child's mind and body and emotions. A godly parent protects their child's spirit. And so they will protect their child's gifting and anointing. They will protect their child's assignment. And anybody who tries to get in the way of that, they will do what is necessary, even if it's inconvenient and uncomfortable. Because when there is a prophetic call, listen, parents, when there is a prophetic call over your child's life, it's not just about your little baby boy or girl anymore. Now this is about a son or a daughter of God fulfilling what he was commissioned to do by the Lord. You protect that as a godly mother and a godly father. Now, again, I wonder what went through Mary's mind. What was she thinking when they were in Egypt? I wonder how hard it might have been for her to leave her family behind, everything that she knew, everything that made her comfortable, everything that offered her security. How hard was it to go to Egypt? I wonder how many times she played back those words that the angel gave. He will save. He will save. He will save. Right now, we just got to keep him safe because one day, he will save. They had to protect their baby and they had to protect this promise. Now, we don't hear about Mary and Joseph again until about 12 years later. And now, Jesus is considered a young man. And the Bible says that his whole family travels to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when it's time to leave, Jesus decides to stay behind because he feels like that's what he's got to do. But his parents, they don't really get it. And so 3 days go by. They finally realize that they lost Jesus. And so they're frantic and they're going everywhere to look for him. And I can just imagine what's going on in Mary's mind. Like, it only took 12 years to lose the Son of God and destroy everything. And she's probably freaking out and probably thinking the worst, and he's in danger, and I failed to protect the Son of God. I failed to protect this promise. And then, lo and behold, they actually find him, and he's in the temple, and he's not in danger. He's not in harm's way. He's there by his own will. And so now she's kind of frustrated. What the heck are you doing here? It's like one of those things, like, if you're not dead, when I find you, you're going to be dead. What are you doing here? Why did you treat us this way, is what she says. And Jesus, I imagine, looking very perplexed, says, didn't you know how to be in my Father's house? Didn't the angel tell you? I'm going to have to talk to somebody in heaven when I get there. Like, somebody missed the mark. And the Bible says, Mary and Joseph, they're listening to the words of Jesus. And it says, but they did not understand what he was saying. Again, I wonder what is going on in this woman's mind, this mother's mind, because she knows the promise over her son's life. He will save, but she doesn't understand it. See, sometimes what you know is very different than what you actually understand. So you know God is good, but you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. You know he's good, but you don't understand why you had such a rough year. You know he's in control, but you don't understand why people are allowed to hurt you. You know that you've got a promise, but you don't know how what you're going through plays into that promise. There's a difference between what you know and what you understand. Mary knows he will save. He will save. He's going to save us from our sins. But she doesn't understand the sudden change of behavior, the sudden pull from the protection of his parents that was offered over the past 12 years of his life. And I just wonder if Mary felt like She had to stop being that controlling mom. Maybe I need to stop asking less questions. Maybe I need to just let go and let God. Maybe I got to give more room for my baby boy to do what he was sent here to do, even though she didn't understand it. He will save. He will save. I might not understand how. I might not understand what you're doing, God, but I know you will. How many of us are in that type of season? God, I don't know. I don't understand. But I know you will. I know you will save. I know you will bring healing. I know you will bring protection. I know it. I know it. I don't know how. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I know who you are. About 18 years later, you still with me? We're going through the whole story of Mary. About 18 years later, we don't hear about Mary or Jesus for about 18 years. But now we hear about Mary, and this time Joseph is not in the picture, and we don't know what happened to Joseph. There's some speculation, but we won't spend time on that. What we do know is that Mary is still very much involved in her son's life. And by this time, she's probably watched her son grow and mature into this incredible man. I wonder what she experienced raising Jesus, like all of the amazing things that she's witnessed. And she's obviously proud. She's a mother. And they're at this wedding, and suddenly the Bible says that the wine runs out. For the wine to run out at a Jewish wedding is worse than the bride not showing up. Like it was a sign of hospitality provided by the host. Wine was a very big part of a Jewish wedding that lasted for several days. You ever go to Popeyes or like KFC and you're like, can I get some chicken? And then they're like, we don't have any chicken. Has that happened to anybody? Or is that just me? I just got the worst luck or the enemy is attacking me everywhere I go. That's happened to me like 5 times in my life where I pulled up to Popeyes. I'm like, give me a bucket of chicken. Oh, we don't got chicken. Bro, has that not happened to you? Like, I want to know. Show of hands. Has that happened to anybody? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Whew, I am covered by the blood. But you get there and you're like, seriously, you sell chicken. How are you going to be out of the thing that you sell and still be open? That's dumb, right? Okay, you're out. You ran out. Close. Send them home. What are we doing? Man, for a wedding to run out of wine would have been a social catastrophe for the host. Like, what are we even doing here? Why are we celebrating them without the wine? And the Bible says they're out of wine. And so here comes Mary. I bet Mary had this big grin on her face because she's got a solution. She's like, my mijo can help. This is it. This is his debut where everybody gets to witness everything I know about him, everything that he's shown me for the past 18 years. This is it. Moms are always doing crazy stuff like this. They're always voluntelling their children because they're so proud. My mom tried to get me to sing a Christmas song this morning. Kid, she sent me a song this week. She said, mijo, it would be so great if you sang this song. And I said, that's a nice song. That's all I said. But that's what moms do. Because they're so proud. And I just know Mary's sitting there so proud of Jesus because she knows what he can do because she's seen it. I know who my boy is. Again, Mary doesn't quite understand everything of what Jesus is doing, but she's got a little bit of insight into what he can do. Jesus, I know you like to help people, and I know you can do some miracles. I've seen the tricks that you can do back at home. You've done them all your life. So I know you can do miracles, and I know you like to help people, so go ahead, go help people. Go ahead, mijo. And the Bible says that Jesus listens. He listens to mama. Even though he says, woman, my time has not yet come. It's not the time for me to do this right now. He does the miracle. John 2:11 says, this, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. What's going on in Mary's mind when he watches her son Jesus turn a bunch of jars full of water into wine? How much joy must have been on this mother's face in that moment, watching her son save the day, always with the promise in the back of her mind, he will save.
He will save. That's who he is. He's Jesus. He's a savior. Save this wedding meal. He will save.
I bet you nobody had faith like Mary had. We talk about Abraham, Pastor Brandon. I bet you nobody had faith like Mary. Why? Because Mary not only had faith in her Lord, she also had faith in her son. And you just know that a mama's got all the faith in the world over her talentless children. You can do it. You can sing that song. Everybody else like, no, please don't let them sing that song. Mary had that mother-like faith and the faith in her Lord. And that just that thought just blows my mind. And can I encourage everybody today to really just have this faith like Mary? Because Mary placed that which was prophetic on the front lines. She said, I don't always understand what you're doing, mijo, but I know who you are. I know your name. I was there when I named you. This is why I protected you when you were young. This is why I looked for you when I thought you were lost. This is why I'm pushing you right now to do this miracle, because the angel told me that my son will save. And so, church, whenever we are under oppression, whenever we are in need of saving, you've got to protect what is holy. You've got to protect what is holy, because the enemy is after your calling. He's after your anointing. He's after whatever divine assignment is over your life. And so just like Mary and Joseph, you've got to protect that which is holy. And then when you feel like you can't find God after all of this prayer and fasting and seeking and worshiping, you have to look for him diligently. Even though you don't understand what he's doing, you got to seek him until you find him. And then you've got to pray and pray that he does the miracle that he might not have even intended to do. That's a faith like Mary. And I'm sure there were a lot of ups and downs for Mary in her life. Like any of us, right? Walking with Jesus is not easy. We don't always understand what's going on. We don't always feel our best. Sometimes we feel like we're at our worst. Sometimes we will have to run from our enemies. I don't know how many enemies you had to flee from this year. I don't know how many enemies you're trying to flee right now. I don't know, but walking with Jesus, it sometimes is like that. And I'm sure for Mary, all of this time spent protecting her child, looking after him, trying to find him when she couldn't find him, it had to be difficult. But if the Christmas message teaches us anything, is that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And whenever you're down, he will. Somebody say, he will. He will lift you up. Whenever you're sad, he will comfort you. Whenever you are attacked, he will protect you. Whenever there is an enemy coming after you, he will rescue you. He is a God who will. And I need you to hear me this morning, because I need you to remember that. We serve a God who will. There's a difference between the people who worship and don't worship. The people who worship know that they're worshiping a God who is able. The people who worship know that they are serving a God who will. And those who don't know the power of God that we've experienced. So I need you to remember that this morning. That's my encouragement. That's what I feel like is from the Lord this morning. God wants to let you know he will. He wants to let you know that we serve a God who already knows all of the needs before we even ask of them, and he's not going to put us to shame. Every promise that he has given, he will deliver to his people. Maybe the greatest test, I'm almost done, maybe the greatest test that Mary ever faced in her life was at the crucifixion. Can I get your attention for just 10 more minutes? John 19:25, it says this, listen. But standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, that was John, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This is all the information that we have from this scene at the cross between Mary and Jesus. What's so fascinating to me is that, you know, Mary had other children. Jesus had brothers. It would not have been normal for John, the disciple of Jesus, to care for this widowed woman. What would have been normal is if one of Jesus' brothers were to take over. So that's interesting to me. But at least during this time, we know that Jesus' brothers later came to him. But at the time of the cross, Jesus' brothers were non-believers. So Jesus commissions John, his disciple, probably the only disciple that stayed by him at the cross. John is a believer, and he commissions this believer to take care of his believing mother. What's so powerful to me is that for the past 33 years, Mary protected her son, protected the promise, protected the anointing over his life, and now at the moment of the cross, at his death, Jesus protects her soul. It's important that John cares for you, Mom. It's important that you stay in good and godly company. It's important, Mom, that you keep your mind fixated on the promise that salvation is still coming. Church, it's important that you stay in the right company of people with faith. In the darkest hour of your life, surround yourself with the people of faith. Because sometimes the best people to surround yourself with is not your earthly family. I hate to say it. It's your kingdom family. Because listen, the people who are not kingdom family will say to you, see, I told you were wasting your time. I told you shouldn't have been going to that church. I told you all that faith was for nothing. Sometimes a Mary needs a John to cling to, and a John needs a Mary to cling to. Because even though you are both, as believers, walking in this dark valley of a moment, unsure of what is going to happen, your greatest support system is not your family, it is your faith. Mom, he's going to watch after you. Now, what's even more powerful than that? I thought that was pretty powerful, but what's even more powerful than that is Jesus is hanging on a cross. And I'm probably going to start to cry because every time I think about my Lord and Savior dying for my sins, man, I get emotional. But he's standing on a cross. He's hanging on a cross in total anguish. Nail-pierced hands, nail-pierced feet. I mean, every breath that he takes, more difficult than his last. And he's down to his final few. And he's thinking about everybody that he's dying for. He's thinking about me. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about my children. He's thinking about those who come after me for generations. He's thinking about the whole world while he's hanging on this cross. And he takes a moment to remember the woman who believed in him when nobody else did. This woman who protected him when he was too helpless to protect himself. This woman who searched for him before anybody else knew to look for him. He takes this moment to honor his mom before he saves her from her sins. And again, what is going on in Mary's mind? From conception to crucifixion. Just a series of questions, just a series of I don't knows, and why and how and what, and not understanding how his death means salvation for anyone, but still believing that even in the darkest hour, he will save, because that is the promise that the Lord made to her. Listen, the greatest doubt, if you don't hear me say anything else, hear this for this coming year. The greatest doubt that a Christian can face is not that he won't, it's that he might not. A true believer dare never say, God won't do it, because that's anti-faith. But in the darkest hour of our lives, when the promises of God are being tested, the question that creeps in is, what if he doesn't? How many of you have asked that before? What if he won't?
Now, disclaimer, okay? I'm talking about the promise. I'm talking about what Jesus made it about, not what we want to make it about. Some of you are saying, hey, yes, Pastor, he will give me that house I can't afford. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus. The Lord saves. The Lord delivers. I'm talking to the mothers who have been praying over their child's salvation for years after years, not seeing a hint of fruit. I'm talking to the men who have been struggling with addictions for so many years, praying that God would break the chains. I'm talking to the generational curses that have plagued so many families. I'm talking to that woman who has been depressed all of this 2025 season. Remember the promises of the Lord. It's in His name. It's in His name. Jesus. Remember the name that you claim. Remember the name that you sing about. Remember the name that you post on Instagram and on Facebook. Remember the name that you bow your head to before you go to bed at night. Remember the name of Jesus and what it means. He will save. He will save. There is salvation coming. There is salvation coming for your children. There is salvation coming for your husband. There is salvation coming for your parents because He is a God who saves. Stand with me. It's not just a name. And that's what God wants me to remind you of today. It's not just a name. It's not just a name. It's a mission. It's an identity. It's active and it's alive. It's prophetic. We call upon the name of Jesus this morning. And I want to call anybody this morning who has been clinging to this promise and you just need somebody to pray with you and declare with you, He will. Because if He said He would do it, He will do it because His name is Jesus. If that's you this morning, if you just need to have a moment to reaffirm your faith because you've been doubting and you've been saying, what if He won't? He might not. I want you to challenge your faith and tell yourself that His name is Jesus. If that's you this morning, fill these altars as we sing this song about Jesus and we lift up the name. We lift up the name of He who will.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.